Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a land far away, there was a preacher that hated grace, and his name was Jonah. Weird title. How could a preacher hate grace? Lila asked me earlier this morning what I was going to preach on this morning, and I said, I'm going to preach on a preacher that hated grace. She said, what kind of preacher hates grace? Jonah hated grace, if you want to turn there. And there are a number of preachers that don't like grace even till today. Most of you are familiar with the story of Jonah. We went through it in Bible study, and I don't want to be too repetitive, but it's really stirred my mind. I haven't been able to get away from it this week, and I started thinking about all the ways that Jonah was showed grace throughout this story, and yet he himself did not like grace very much at all. A little synopsis of the story. God told him to go to preach to Nineveh. He told them, go preach to Nineveh that they should repent from their evil ways. Jonah tried to escape that calling. He got on a ship. He was fleeing. He was going the opposite way of God, both spiritually and geographically. He was swallowed up by a whale. He prayed in the whale's belly. He was spit out upon dry land. He made his trip then to Nineveh. He would preach to them that they ought to repent. And lo and behold, the people were moved by the preaching of the gospel, and that nation did repent from their sins. You would think that Jonah would have been ecstatic that that happened, but he actually wasn't. He was actually mad that they repented and that God had repented from the evil that he thought to do unto them. God was about to destroy them, and he repented not because his actions initially were sinful, because God is not a sinner, amen? So the repentance there was just that he turned from what he was going to do. And now when you and I talk about repenting from sin, it's the same. We turn from what we're going to do. God never sins, but he can repent. He can change what he thought to do initially, and that's what he did. Jonah should have been ecstatic. He should have went into the city with Nineveh. He should have been there, and they should have celebrated together. But in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? See, he's referring to the first chapter when he was where he was at in his country, the first interaction with God. He says, was this not my saying? He says, therefore I fled unto Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah hated grace, mercy, kindness, long-suffering. That's exactly what he says in that second verse. You know what he basically said to God here? He basically said to God, God, I knew that you were going to do what you did. He said, that's why I fled in the first place. I did not want to go to Nineveh and expend all this time on a wicked nation, knowing that there was a possibility that if I were to preach to them, they would be convicted in their hearts, they would repent from their sins, and that you would spare them. Jonah said, I wanted to see them destroyed. See, Jonah hated grace. We love grace as the Primitive Baptist Church. I trust that we love grace, amen. I love it. I love thinking about it. I love that it's been given to me. I have a knowledge of grace. But sometimes we don't like it so much when grace is showed unto others. And that's where Jonah is right here. See, Jonah had received grace over and over again, but when it came time for the people of Nineveh to receive grace, Jonah hated it. Jonah hated grace so much, are you listening? That it made him suicidal. He says, Lord, take my life. I can't stand it. I can't stand what you just did. I can't stand that you showed mercy and grace unto this people. And all along throughout the book of Jonah, we see grace given to Jonah over and over and over again. Let's just start with a basic one here. Jonah was alive. Do you realize that every day that we have is a gift of grace? You know why every day we have is a gift of grace? Because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve to be dead because we all were conceived in sin. From the very get-go, we were sinners. And the wages of sin is death. So that's what we actually deserve. We do not deserve life. Boy, that if we get that deep in our hearts and our souls, we'll enjoy each day a lot more than what we do now. That we're not promised today. You know, did we even think about that this morning? Did we even give thanks to God this morning for another day on His earth? Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But we ought to give thanks for each and every day. We're not promised even the rest of today, and we're definitely not promised tomorrow, and we're definitely not even promised 70 or 80 or 90 good years. We're not promised that, as we've observed throughout watching other people pass away. Friends, every day is a blessing from God, and every day that we have, we should be reminded of His grace and His mercy towards us. So Jonah was showed grace from the get-go. The fact that he was even to go through this whole experience is a testimony of grace, for we are owed nothing. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord came unto Jonah and the son of Amittai, saying," okay, so God spoke to Jonah. Can you believe that? That's an act of grace. The fact that God would have any dealings with a person like Jonah shows how graceful our God is. The fact that He would even communicate to us. You know, when we go back and we read about depravity, we read about Adam's fall, when we read about our flesh without God, it's a disaster zone, isn't it? And here, Jonah is no different from you and I. The only thing Jonah has been chosen to do is be a prophet of God, to be a messenger for God, but he's no different from you and I as far as the flesh goes. His flesh was totally depraved. And we see it in the story, don't we? We see the sin of Jonah over and over and over again in the story. But yet, God chose to speak with Jonah. That's a sign of grace, my friends. The fact that we have any communication from God in any way is a sign of grace. Now, He doesn't communicate with us like He did here with the prophets any longer, but the fact that we have the Word of God right here, you know, we have this by His grace. We don't deserve it. We don't have the Word of God because we're such good people, that we're so great, that we've held the line all these many years, and God has rewarded us with His Word. No, we have the Word of God by His grace, and He speaks to us still through it. The fact that we hear any preaching today and God speaks through the preaching of the gospel, that's a gift of grace. You don't deserve to hear preaching this morning, and I don't deserve to preach the gospel this morning. That's just how it is. If you're fed spiritually this morning, just thank God for His grace and His mercy towards us. Because we don't deserve it. We didn't earn His presence. We don't earn the presence of God. He gives us His presence. It's a gift of grace. If we hear Him in our hearts, I love that still small voice, don't you? When God speaks to our hearts and He kind of gives us a little guidance, He pushes us in the right direction, we hear Him speaking to us, that's because He's a graceful God, my friends. We never chalk it up to our own works. We never say, God speaks to us, He shows me, He guides me, because I'm such a good boy or girl. No, He does this based on grace. We do not deserve it. Grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. You know what that means? That means we don't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn this grace. And we know that we're saved eternally by grace, but we also experience the grace of God over and over and over again as we live. And we ought to love that. We ought to love grace and not be as Jonah, who didn't even recognize it, and he hated grace. He's the preacher that hated grace. Jonah rebels because he hates grace, and he goes the other way. He does not want to go to the wicked nation of Nineveh. He does not want to preach there at Nineveh. He rebels. He goes the other way. He gets onto a ship. He boards a ship. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: "Then the mariners were afraid." Now there's a storm. There's a great tempest. "They were afraid and cried every man unto his own God, unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Quite the exciting scene, isn't it? It's a better scene than any storm movie you've ever seen, The Perfect Storm, The Titanic, so on and so forth. This was raging, friends. And you could see the panic on the mariners. They're praying to their false gods, by the way. And by the way, at the preaching of Jonah, they too would be converted. Later on in this book, they would be converted. But anyway, they're panicking. They're throwing their wares over the ship to lighten the ship so it doesn't tip over. They're really scared. They're really frightened. They're praying to their phony gods. And here's Jonah. And what is he? He's fast asleep. Do you know he was fast asleep by grace? See, here's a little thing we ought to think of also. The fact that we get a good night's sleep is by the grace of God. And we oftentimes overlook that until we don't have a good night's sleep. It's by grace that we have a good night's sleep. Psalm 127 and verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep." What does God do there? He giveth his beloved sleep. If you have a good night's sleep and if I have a good night's sleep, let's just wake up and say, "Thank you, Lord. I want to thank him today. I want to thank him this morning." Because funny enough, I was up kind of late last night, stayed up to about 1, couldn't get to sleep, but my sleep was good when I finally did get to sleep. So I should say, thank you, God, for your grace. Proverbs 3:24, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." See, God is the one who gives us sweet sleep. Oh, we don't deserve sweet sleep. As a matter of fact, the way that we live our lives, we deserve anything but, because we usually do things to our bodies to prohibit good sleep. We usually drink too much coffee, don't we? We have one or two too many Celsiuses, don't we? We eat too much bad food right before bedtime. That's the one I'm mainly guilty of. Oh, I hate to go to bed on an empty stomach, don't you? And oftentimes my late night snacks is not a bowl of celery and carrots. It's usually potato chips and something bad for me. That's just how I am. I never really deserve a good night's sleep. And the things that we do throughout the day prohibit good sleep. The fact that you and I ever get a good night's sleep is by the grace of God. The fact that Jonah here is sleeping in the midst of this storm, God is continuously showing his grace to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 9, we see that Jonah will now give a testimony of who God is. In verse 9, he says, "And he said unto them," he said to his other shipmates, "I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made sea and the dry land." By the way, I agree with what Jonah just preached to these men. I agree wholeheartedly that we serve this morning the God of heaven. I believe this morning that there is only one God. Do you all believe that? There's only one God. It's the Lord of heaven. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God and he alone. Jonah says to his shipmates here, "The God of heaven, which hath made sea and dry land." I believe that this creation has a creator, and it's the God of heaven. It's the God of all grace. It's the God of glory. Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Ghost, they together created what we stand on this morning. We stand in, rather, his earth, which he created. This is what Jonah is preaching. He's declaring that God is the creator of heaven. He's the creator of earth. He's creator of dry land. He's the creator of the sea. And he's the sender of this tempest that they were experiencing at the moment. Jonah preaches God pretty plainly here, and these men are converted. Friends, the very fact that Jonah had this knowledge of God and was able to give testimony of who God was an act of grace. You realize that? Sometimes we get on our high horses We get haughty sometimes at our own intellect and our theological understanding. I understand salvation by grace. Look at me. I've read the Bible over and over and over again. Do you know that there are people who have read this book multiple times and don't understand a single word? The fact that you and I have an understanding of the Word of God is by the grace of God. He's given us that ability. And I would even go so far as to say also that the fact that you understand that your salvation is complete in Jesus Christ and He alone, that understanding has been given to us by the grace of God. Do you ever think about that? How there's great theologians in the world. They've read this book 50 times, and they still contend that salvation is by works or salvation is by faith. No, salvation is by the blood of Christ and that alone. They've read this book time and time again, and they still don't see it. Why do you and I see it this morning? It's because of God's grace. All we should do is thank Him for it. Thank you, Lord, that you've revealed this thing to me. I'm thankful that we have a knowledge of the Bible. I'm thankful that this is a congregation who reads the Bible and wants a knowledge of it. I'm thankful that we understand that Jesus Christ is a successful Savior, that He finished salvation. But in no way do I ever want to gloat that it's because of my study, because of my intellect, because of your study, because of your intellect. I don't want to gloat in that at all. What I want to do is give all that credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to me the greatest truth that has ever been told in the history of the world. Do you know that is the greatest truth? Salvation by grace, by Jesus Christ, by Him alone. That is the greatest truth that this world has ever known, and it always will be. So, the very fact that Jonah was able to give this testimony, that too was by grace. Are we seeing a pattern here? How God is working with Jonah, giving him grace, grace, and more grace. Now, in verse 17, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, Jonah received grace by this whale swallowing him up. You might think to yourself, well, that's not very graceful, is it? Considering the situation he was in, it was graceful. Because prior, the shipmates, you know what they did to him? Upon Jonah's request, they tossed him overboard. Here's Jonah, he's swimming around in the sea, and the Lord sends a great whale to swallow him up. Now the Lord, in verse 17, had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Friends, here's the fact of the matter. With Jonah's disobedience, with his rebellion, do you know what he deserved? He deserved to drown in that sea. But by the grace of God, he sent a great fish, a whale, to swallow up Jonah, and he was in that belly 3 days and three nights. The fact of the matter is this, friends, that the same goes for you and I. Based on our sins, based on the things that we've done, based on our iniquity and our transgressions, we too deserve to be drowned, stomped out, suffocated. Our lives just plainly deserve to be taken from us this morning. And aren't you glad God shows us grace? Has He ever sent a big fish to swallow you up? Maybe not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Have you ever done something so rebellious you've been out on your way and God sends something in your way to stop you from doing what you were going to do and saves you from that? Yeah, that happens quite a bit, I trust, to God's people. Because we get caught up in the flesh sometimes, don't we? And sometimes God is so graceful to us that He'll send something out of the ordinary to save us from what we're about to do. That happens. This is what happened with Jonah. Remember, Jonah's already suicidal. He's already suicidal to this point. He says to the shipmen, throw me over. I'll go into the sea, and hopefully the Lord will spare you. Well, the Lord had other plans, and He saves Jonah by swallowing him up with a whale. This was done by grace. Jonah would then pray in chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Isn't that something? Jonah survived. He's in the whale's belly. You know, there was a story recently of a man who got swallowed by a whale, but he never went into the whale's belly. He did survive. There's footage of it, actually, of him crawling out of the whale's mouth. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? You know what's more impressive is going into a whale's belly and surviving. And that's Jonah's testimony here. And while he's in the whale's belly, he begins to pray to God. Do you know the fact that you and I can pray to God is only by His grace? We can't pray to God in our flesh. We can't pray to God on our own. We oftentimes forget what to say, what to pray for, who to pray for. Have you ever been on your knees in prayer and just did not know what to say to God at all? Yeah. Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn there in verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul speaks of this in regard to prayer. Grace with praying. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Thank God for that, because we have a lot of them. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Amen. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, what does that mean? I'm not quite sure. But what I do know is that the Spirit of God is working, and there's utterances and there's groanings here, and I'm not sure what they are, but when we don't know what to pray, God is listening, God is active. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. The Spirit is making intercession. The Spirit is the go-between between us and Christ with our prayer. For us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God is the one that searcheth the hearts. Aren't you glad that he knows our hearts sometimes? Sometimes I'm not so thrilled that he knows my heart. But when I go to the Lord in prayer, as I've done so many times, and those moments come where I don't know what to say, I don't know what to pray for, God knows my heart. And the Spirit is active, and the Spirit makes intercession between us and the Lord. The fact that we are able to offer up any prayers at all is a gift of grace. Ephesians 2:18, for though we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We don't have access to the Father because that day we were so good. We followed God's word to a T. And now I can go to God in prayer and he will hear my prayers because I've been so good today. That's not how it works, friends. And may we never actually have a bad day, a sinful day, where we know we've fallen short and feel like at the end of the day, well, we shouldn't go to God in prayer because of how bad we are. No. Go to God in prayer anyway, because you don't deserve to go to God in prayer ever. That's the truth. That's the truth of grace. We never earn the blessing of prayer. Prayer is by the grace of God. It's a favor that he's given to us, and it's not based on our merit. For though we have, for through him we both have access, we have this access, by one Spirit. We have it by the Spirit unto the Father. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. How can we enter the throne room of God? And that's what the Bible describes it as when we're praying. We're entering into the throne room of God. Well, how can we enter into the throne room of God? We enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love when I hear a man pray here in public and they say, we beseech you by the blood of Jesus Christ. We beg to you, we pray to you, we bring our petitions before you, we pray to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And his blood, make no mistake, was shed for us because of grace. He didn't shed it for us because we earned it. He didn't shed it for us because we did certain things in our life. No, he shed it for us because of grace, because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him, and he shed his blood for us, not based on our works, but based on his grace. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because ye are sons of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Why do we cry to the Father? Why do we cry, Abba, Father? It's because God has born us again of the Spirit. Well, why did God born you again of the Spirit? Is it because you were checking all the boxes? He born you again of the Spirit by his grace. Because he wanted to, right? He gave it to us freely, not based on our good works, because actually before being born again of the Spirit, we cannot do any good. But by his grace, he born us again of the Spirit, and therefore by this new birth, we cry to the Father. We cry, Abba, Father, which is to say, Daddy. That's the closeness of our relationship. So here, the whole second chapter is Jonah, and he's praying from the whale's belly. And he prayed by grace. That's how he prayed. Jonah preached by grace. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 3, we see his message to Nineveh. It's actually a quick one. Verse 3, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey." That means it would take 3 days to walk it by foot. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. One day in, Jonah started preaching. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." You know, just as I'm reading that right now, I wonder if that was the only thing he said. I wonder if that's the only message he had for those people. Very quick, he said, look, the city of Nineveh is going to be overthrown. That was his message. It was plain, it was to the point, and it was clear. Jonah did what he was commissioned to do in the first chapter, which was go to the city of Nineveh and preach. But make no mistake about it, the preached word comes by grace and grace alone. Comes by grace and grace alone. As much as I would like to stand before you today, and I'm sure Brother Glenn would like to also, and say that we are such studied men. We dedicate many hours to studying the Bible, and we preach the gospel because we've earned the right to preach the gospel, and so on and so forth. Oh, we would just love to say that to you in our flesh. That's how our flesh would feel. That's how the flesh of the preacher would feel. But friends, anytime you hear the gospel preached, it's by grace. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, Paul would say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." We should all just say amen to that. By the grace of God, I am what I am. There is no room for boasting. There's no room for bragging in ourselves. There's no room for bragging on what we've done in our lives and how good we are, the good that we've done in the name of Jesus Christ. No, no, no. Paul says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And Paul was a great sinner, was he not? Paul would say, "I am the chief of sinners." He was the chief of sinners. He persecuted the Lord's church. He killed Christians. And he says here, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Well, that seems a little like there's a little bragging here, doesn't it? He says, "Oh, I've labored, and I've labored more than they all." If the verse would stop there, he would contradict himself in the same verse. But the verse doesn't stop. He goes on to say, "Yet not I." You see that? Now he's turning the attention back on God. "But by the grace of God, which was with me. He says, I've done all these things by the grace of God. He traveled from church to church by the grace of God. He established churches by the grace of God. He preached the gospel by the grace of God. And Romans 12:6, whether you're a preacher or you're not a preacher, Romans 12:6 says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. See, we're not all preachers, and that's good. We all don't need to be preachers, but you all each have a role in the Lord's church. That ought to thrill your soul this morning, that you have a purpose to play, you have a role to play, and you're part of the body of Christ. And Paul says here in Romans 12 that there are gifts given to the church. They're all different, but yet they're all given by one thing, and that's by grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am this morning. And so are you. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we'll continue in this thought. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul would also write here, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's fairly plain, isn't it, what Paul says? He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. Every minister is a minister because of the gift of grace. Jonah was a minister. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a preacher because of grace, and yet Jonah hated grace. Think about that for a second. The only reason Jonah was preaching the gospel is by grace, and yet he did not like grace very much, did he? Paul loved grace, and he brags on grace. He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. It was given by God, the effectual working of his power. Friends, all that we do here in life, everything good that we do here in life is based on the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without his power, there is no church. Without his power, there are no hymns to be sung. Without his power, we don't get to hear the beautiful prayers like we heard this morning. Without his power, those things don't happen. Without his power, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not get preached. Any man, I'm sure most men here can come up and give a lecture about Jesus Christ. But you and I both know there's a difference between a good lecture and the preaching of the gospel. When preaching occurs, it's by the power of God. It's by his grace. Our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Do you see a pattern with Paul? He gives all credit, all glory, all goodness and praise to God for the things that he does for his ministry. He gives that all up to the grace of God. And the same thing goes today for his ministers. If we have ministry here at the church, it's by the grace of God. I don't deserve to have a good ministry. I'm a sinner just like everyone else. I don't deserve it whatsoever. We don't deserve new members at this church. We don't deserve to have baptisms. We don't deserve to hear the preaching of the gospel. We don't deserve what we are doing right now at this very moment. We do it because of grace, because God has shown us grace. Nineveh would then hear the preaching. That preaching was blessed. Nineveh would hear it, and they would repent. Now, some would say, well, the reason God spared them is because they repented. They did something. They repented, and therefore, God spared them of the destruction. But do you know that repentance is too by the grace of God? Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you know you can't make someone else repent? I knew I wouldn't get one amen on that, because we would like for that to be the case, right? We would like to make people repent. But do you know that people only repent by the goodness of God? Now, you could encourage someone to repent, which I do recommend you do. But if they do repent, it's because of the goodness of God. These people did not repent because of the preaching of Jonah. The city of Nineveh repented because God was working with that city. God gave Jonah the ability to preach, which was by grace. We already established that. And then God gave the people and the king, you'll see the king in the third chapter, he'll repent and he'll tell the rest of the nation that we need to fall down and pray in sackcloth and ashes. The fact that the king behaved in such a manner was because of the grace of God. Without the grace of God, friends, there is no repentance. There is no repentance because our flesh loves sin. We love to continue in it. It makes our flesh feel good. And in order to have the ability to repent, it takes, the first of all, being born again of the Spirit and God working in our lives to turn from the things that we did. So those that would say, well, God spared them because of their repentance, well, the only reason they were able to repent was because of God. Isn't grace awesome? Okay, grace truly is amazing. Amen? It truly is amazing when you start getting down to the core of it, when you dig deeper and deeper. It's amazing. It's amazing. All the credit goes to God. God shows grace and mercy to Nineveh, and Jonah gets mad in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. He says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. The Lord says to him, doest thou well to be angry? Is this good for you, Jonah, to be this angry? Jonah then leaves the city. He gets so mad, he leaves the city, and he sits down. And it's hot, and he looks back at the city. And you know what Jonah was doing? I have a hunch. He was hoping that the Lord would repent from his repentance and then decide to destroy the city anyway. Here's Jonah. He's hot, and he's dying out there. He's like the Florida heat. Y'all are familiar with that, aren't you? Did you sit outside this week? You probably died of the heat, dying to death out there. It's so hot. That's Jonah. He's sitting there. He's sweating. He's dehydrated. He's fainting, the Bible says. He's about to faint. And you know what the Lord does to Jonah? And friends, you already know he didn't deserve it. This is by grace. The Lord sent a gourd. A gourd. Funny looking vegetable. You know what a gourd is? It has a thin top, and then it gets really round on the bottom. And this gourd provided Jonah with some shade. And he was able to get a little relief. And that gourd was sent by grace. He didn't deserve it. Jonah deserved to die in that heat. But what does God do? He sends him a gourd. And then what does God do the next day? He sends a worm into the gourd. And the gourd gets destroyed. And now Jonah's miserable once again. And he laments the gourd. And God, the story ends with God saying, Jonah, you lament at this gourd that grew in one day and it was destroyed in another. And he says, shouldn't I show grace to the great nation of Nineveh? And should I not spare Nineveh in the last verse of the book? That great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. God says they're an ignorant bunch. Should not I spare them? Should not I show them grace? Are not God's people more important than a gourd? And I'll say this morning, they are. They are. And there were God's people in the city of Nineveh, and they repented, and God showed them grace, and we should rejoice when that happens. We should rejoice when grace is shown to us, because it's shown to us every single day of our lives. The very fact that we're alive this morning shows that God has been graceful to us. So we should rejoice when we receive grace, and we should rejoice when grace is given to others. We should never say that person does not deserve grace. Of course they don't deserve grace. If they deserved grace, it wouldn't be grace. So yes, People get help, they get grace, and it's not because they earned it. If they earned it, it wouldn't be grace. It would be based on merit. Isn't grace amazing? Aren't you glad that he gives more grace? James 4:6, but he giveth more grace because we need more grace every single day. We need more grace. And aren't you glad that we are saved by grace? Grace, again, it's unmerited favor. This eternal salvation was given to us not because we earned it, but because God showed us grace, mercy, and love. If you want to teach this to someone, perhaps the best place to go is Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. Talking about grace and works, Romans chapter 9 and verse 11 says this, referring to Jacob and Esau, two Old Testament characters, salvation by grace. For the children being not yet born, they weren't born yet, neither having done any good or evil, that excludes works, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. So what was the purpose of this choosing before they did any good or evil? That the purpose of God, it's God's purpose, eternal salvation, it's God's purpose. That election might stand, the choosing might stand, that this might be taught, not of works, but of him that calleth. Salvation is not of works. It's clear in the story of Jacob and Esau because God loved one and he hated the other before they did any good or evil, so that the purpose of election might stand. It was said unto the elder, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. If you want a good study this week, go and read the stories of Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis, and you'll find something fairly remarkable, that Esau was actually, to the eye, a better person than Jacob. Jacob was a real piece of work, wasn't he? He was a deceiver. He was a bad fella. He was a sinner. And you might think to yourself, well, why didn't God choose Esau? He was better. He was better behaved. So the purpose of election might stand. So that you and I might understand election. That you and I might understand that election was based not upon works, but upon God's sovereign will. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean this. God chose who he wanted to before the foundation of the world. And it was within his right because he's a sovereign God. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Oh, people don't like this. Jonah didn't like it, did he? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? That's what Jonah said. You're unrighteous, God. You should have destroyed them. You should have gave them what they earned. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Amen. There's not unrighteousness with God. Why? For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God will have mercy on who he wants to have mercy on, and he will have compassion on whom he wants to have compassion on. You say that's unfair. No, this is God's universe. It's not your universe. When you create a universe, you can make the rules. You let me know when that happens, when you create your own universe. God is the creator of this universe, and God is the creator of you and I. He's the creator of his people, and he gets to have mercy on whom he has mercy, whom he wants to have mercy, and he gets to show compassion on whom he wants to show compassion. And even if Jacob was a scoundrel, it doesn't matter. He gets the compassion and the grace of God, and Esau doesn't. God hated Esau, yes. God hates those that weren't chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So then, and plainly, to wrap things up in this portion, in verse 16, Paul writes, so then, it is not of him that willeth. This is when it comes to your eternal salvation. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not of him who wants eternal salvation, willeth. It's not of him who wants it. And by the way, if you show that you want it, that means you already have it. Because if you're not born again of the Spirit, you don't want eternal salvation. You could care less. So then it's not of him that willeth, but that's not what it's about here, nor of him that runneth, nor of him that is trying to get eternal salvation. There's a great host of the Christian world today that thinks they need to check off all these boxes. They need to run to get eternal salvation. The Bible says it's not of him who runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We have eternal salvation. It's secured in Jesus Christ because of grace, unmerited favor. And I love it. I love it. I love Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, describing us without God, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." One may say, "Well, I've been born again because I did this." No, you didn't. You were dead. You were spiritually dead. You could not summon God to born you again. The borning again had to be done by his sovereign grace. "And you hath he quickened," meaning you hath he given spiritual life, who were dead. You're not anymore. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." You were dead, now you're quickened by the grace of God. And if you've been quickened by the grace of God, that means that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That means Jesus Christ shed his blood for you on the cross. And that means that you and I are going to heaven. And we're going by grace and by grace alone. So may we rejoice in grace. Amen. We rejoice in grace, eternally speaking, of course, for we cannot make it to glory on our own works. So we rejoice in grace. And then we rejoice in grace when things are given to us here on earth and when we don't deserve them. And we rejoice when we see others partake in this grace as well. Grace is good. Grace is grand. It's truly amazing grace that we understand this morning. May we always practice it and rejoice in the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you'd like to join the church this morning,